You know your customers. Ralph likes his coffee black on Fridays, but Mondays he takes a little cream. Jennifer comes in every 3 years when her lease is up to get the newer and better model. And for some reason, pepperoni pizza sells like crazy on Friday nights. Who knew? At Odyssey, we have the expertise to get your media plan done right. With ads like you're hearing right now, to targeted social media campaigns, search engine optimization, and location-based advertising. Advertise with Odyssey and help us grow your business. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
By Bauer.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to The Good Life. If you just joined us, we start at 12:05. Max working the board. I got a great wine of the week coming up at the end of the show. It's an Alsatian Riesling. If you haven't been enjoying some Riesling from Alsace, you're out where the buses don't run. You really need to fix it. Jacobs has a pretty good selection, but there's so many different great producers. And this one's relatively new on the shelf at Jacob, and I'll tell you all about it later. On the phone with me from beautiful California is my guest, Payette Despain, Rooted in Fire, celebration of Native American and Mexican cooking. Payette, I am always thrilled when the front of the book has an introduction or a preface written by the author that kind of gives some background, and your introduction is perfect for that. And then it leads to a couple of three pages of really good photography. Who took the pictures?
I had two photographers. One, her name was Kristen Teague. She's a professional with cookbooks, and she did an amazing job with really capturing all the colors and the true essence of all the ingredients. And then I had an indigenous woman. She is from the Shoshone Nation, and her name is Emma, and she, or Emmy Edmo, and she did the photography that's on the front of the book, back of the book, and then there's a few kind of like tablescapes where I'm having a big dinner, and she took all of those. So I've had two different photographers work on the book, so it really came together nicely.
Yeah, it really did. The picture of the fire on the page with the Keepers of the Fire story, lovely. Okay, so recipe-wise, before we talk about a couple of recipes or just thumb through the book, talk briefly about the medicine wheel and then the spirit plate. I think that it gives a lot of background into what effort you put into this book and the history behind it.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to incorporate the medicine wheel into this cookbook mainly because a lot of folks need to really start from the basics when it comes to learning about indigenous foods, because it's something that isn't really highlighted in our food system here in America or within the food industry. There aren't any Native American restaurants outside of Wisconsin. Actually, I think it's Minneapolis. And then there's another one that's in Oakland area. But outside of that, I haven't seen many other restaurants across the United States. So when I talk about Native American food, not a lot of people know what that is. So when I am describing that type of cuisine, I think it's really important for folks to really understand how our belief systems really coincide with our food system, and how respecting all living things is really, really important, especially when we're putting stuff in our bodies. You know, the ways that we eat and our food choices are the most intimate relationship we have to anything else in this world, because it quite literally becomes us. So I just thought it was really important to make sure that people knew our belief systems, and then understanding what a spirit plate is to really give prayer. Sorry about the, all of a sudden there's a fire across the street.
Uh-oh, no.
Yes, there's lots of fire trucks coming by, so I apologize if you hear that.
No, but, it's okay.
There's a spirit plate, which is basically a prayer to those that come before us, that teach us all the ancestral knowledge that we know and that we have, and a prayer for that, what's on our table, so that's important. And then, of course, a prayer to the seven generations that come after us, which is also important, because what we do now affects those that come after us in this world, so we obviously have to make sure we're leaving something for them to be able to have and harvest and also keep, you know, have their traditions be kept alive throughout their lifetime. So that prayer is really encompassed by the spirit plate. It's an offering to the spirit world and to the creator. And all of that's really important in the work that I do. So
I think it's great. You know, we just passed Thanksgiving and most of us sat down at a bountiful table and blessed the food and those lucky enough to be with us. Chapters. You've got 8 primary chapters. The Way of the Hunter is the first one, and I'm a meditarian, so of course I would gravitate to that. Gather from the garden, harvest the fields, stews and soups, forage for your sweet tooth. That's an interesting chapter. Sauces and salsas, teas and spirits, and then celebrate the seasons. Inside all of these are not only great recipes, but you kind of intersperse some great stories and things that kind of make that recipe pop and make it stand out. And, you know, you've got some Potawatomi language tips for certain things, especially appropriate in the hunter section. Then there's a picture here, and I'm assuming it's just the grilled bison, but whoever fixed this did a great job. Having done great successful bison and sometimes in the early days less successful bison grilling, because it's so lean, this meat looks so good it makes me wish there was a restaurant that had grilled bison available. How do you pronounce that word in Potawatomi for bison?
Bison is bigoj bishkek.
Bishkek, okay. I might have got close. All right, so to me, beef is really expensive right now. 5 years ago, people would say, well, bison's a little more expensive than meat, than beef. I think it's not anymore. And do you think cooking with bison is, and now that bison herds have come way back, is it something that anybody should be able to do, especially if they have a copy of your book?
Definitely. I've noticed that there are a lot of grocery stores that now sell bison, and there's a lot of meat markets and butcher shops that you can, probably that are local to you that would probably sell it, especially there in Kansas. But what I've come to realize, you know, after lots of research, and obviously beef was not indigenous to the Americas, and bison is something that's very comparable to not just the flavor, but the way that you can cook it. It is a leaner meat, and you will have to just keep that in mind that it can dry out a little bit faster. But it's actually a sustainable choice of protein for you. And I try to incorporate a lot of bison into this particular cookbook for that reason. There's a lot of laws and conservation laws in place to really protect the bison, which is great now that we have them back. And the history is really outlined there in that chapter of the hunter's way and just the respect for bison that our tribe and other nations have for that majestic animal. But it's becoming a lot more accessible for folks, and which is amazing because we do need another regenerative, more sustainable option than cattle. And it's really interesting to see how the food industry has changed and prices have changed at the grocery stores. But even if people can't find bison, I always tell them, try to get your best quality of beef that you can and make sure it's being, harvested in a good way, and you're finding it from a place that is practicing the sustainability practices and things like that. But you can utilize these recipes and, use whatever protein you want. The flavors will still be really great. But obviously bison is a little bit more leaner, and so you just have to keep that in mind.
Well, I'm cooking sirloin, prime sirloin tonight on the grill. It's kind of cold, and I'm thinking the jalapeno bison jerky could just as easily be substituted with this sirloin, but I think it's worth trying to find bison and get good cuts. And I like spice. I mentioned that earlier in the show while we were waiting for you, and this recipe sounds great. And then towards the back of this is braised bison Colorado. And this is a fusion dish in my mind because my aunt used to make a sauce very similar to the chili Colorado sauce that you put with the bison. And it turns anything into a whole different deal. She made stuff with chicken or pork or beef, but this looks so rich and unctuous. Braised bison Colorado, slow cooked. That way you don't have to worry about overcooking it or it drying out. I think that's important. When you put together the book, did you get some input from relatives and generations before saying, oh, you should definitely have this recipe in there or whatever?
Oh, absolutely. I had a lot of my family members making suggestions and wanting to make changes. And I have a family on my dad's side, which is my Mexican side. They're all very passionate people about cooking. And we have lots of cousins and lots of people part of our family that, you know, we got to feed. And so there's two of everything at the dinner table when we get together. So they're always competing against who's better, whose dish is better, and whose turkey's more dry, and who has the more succulent ham. And so that's very competitive in my family. So when I was writing a cookbook, of course, I definitely had some feedback on what to include and what to add into this and that. And now that chili Colorado sauce that you're talking about, that's been in my family for a long time. We grew up eating that. My grandmother and both of my uncles all had restaurants at one point in Kansas City, and they all had this on the menu, and it was one of the best sellers at any of these locations. And so I had to make sure that I incorporated that into this cookbook. But yeah, there's lots of input from family members when I was writing this book.
I believe, again, we're still in the meat section, if you will, but this is maybe we transition. I'm looking at the poblano and corn tamales. Yeah, that's right. The Three Sisters salads, the recipe just before that. This is probably the easiest tamale recipe I've seen. And, you know, tamales are all about the masa and making the dough the right consistency and then what you decide to put in it. And putting corn filling and poblanos, man. Makes me think maybe I should be a vegetarian instead of a meatitarian. I did put the recipe on there, and I think it said, you know, with proper credit given. Talk briefly about Three Sisters salad. Texture, color, flavors, and, well, perfect for summer. I think it's perfect for any time of year. This is a really pretty salad.
Yeah, thanks. Absolutely. So the Three Sisters are beans, corn, squash. These, this what we call the superfood trio. They're actually the perfect protein when put together. So this is a great vegetarian or vegan option for, you know, getting a good protein intake. And it's been the survival of indigenous people for a very long time. Each of these ingredients holds something very significant culturally to many tribes across the Turtle Island or the United States. And you can use any variation of the bean or the corn or the squash. And in this particular recipe, it's all very simply added together into, you know, a pan being sauteed together with a little bit of flavor enhancements. But I really like to really focus on the flavor of each of these things, just because when you're able to sustainably source some really good produce, you don't have to worry about, you know, overcomplicating things. And I just really want the sweetness of the yellow corn, if you're using yellow corn, to really pop. And then you also have like the beans. Beans are always a really great texture. But yeah, this is something that you can eat pretty much all year round. It's food that is, you know, very accessible to folks all across the United States, which is great. And there's a lot of storytelling, a lot of meaningfulness that takes place in this book and the storytelling process, but it's something very simple, but holds a lot of significance to us as indigenous people. So making sure that was in the book was important, but also, you know, the way that I live my life is, kind of like coincides with the teachings of the Three Sisters. This is a agricultural planting method that's been around for a while, and they're all planted together, these three seeds, and they all thrive together because they produce something or another as some sort of support. And I see that as, you know, my life with my community. I'm a community built woman, and together we really thrive. And when we are helping one another out, then, you know, that's kind of like the best environment to thrive in.
Oh man. And then like I said earlier, I like spicy stuff, and I don't care what ethnicity the spice comes from. I love them all. And in the back of the book, in my opinion, it probably should be equally as important, or in the front of the book, is your pantry suggestions for indigenous fusion cooking. And great section on chilies, both fresh and dried. You've got the flour, corn, berries, apples, oranges, all kinds of veggies and things that when I look at every page of that section, it screams healthy. You don't see much fat or processed food. And I think that's probably a general thing that we could say about the book, is this is great Native American and Mexican cooking combined, but it's also healthy cooking. And for that, you should be congratulated.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think just a note to that is I think a lot of people's ideas of what Mexican food is or what our native foods are, like fry bread, there's a lot more than just those dishes, and there's a lot of beauty and a lot of healthy ingredients and healthy recipes that don't get highlighted as much. So I wanted to make sure that people knew that.
Yeah, you did. Can't wait to see how you fare at the James Beard Awards for your debate book, which will be a really cool thing. And you mentioned this book that's coming up. Can you share any more? Nah, we'll wait. We'll have you on when that book comes out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hopefully there's a second book. But I also have a show that's called Spirit Plate. If any of you folks are interested in watching a traveling cooking show, it's on PBS Food. You can actually type it into YouTube, and it's Spirit Plate. And we go to 6 different tribal nations and explore the indigenous foodways of each of these places. We go to Hawaii. We go to New York. We go to Alaska. So it's a really awesome show. It's a short series, so each episode's like 12 minutes long, so you can binge watch all of it in one setting. But it's called Spirit Plate, and I'm super proud of it.
Well, and you should be. Well, look, I can't tell you how much I appreciate all the time you spent with us today. Sorry for the delay in getting you on the phone. Who knows, technology being what it is, but at least we were able to get a hold of Carrie, and she helped fix it. So happy weekend to you, happy holidays, and keep cooking. We're going to give away a copy of the book now. All you got to do is be caller number 5-316-869-1330. Maximum will answer the phone. He will write your info down, and we will send you a copy of Rooted in Fire. Call now, 316-869-1330. We'll be right back.
Our lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of, right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You know your customers. Ralph likes his coffee black on Fridays, but Mondays he takes a little cream. Jennifer comes in every 3 years when her lease is up to get the newer and better model. And for some reason, pepperoni pizza sells like crazy on Friday nights. Who knew? At Odyssey, we have the expertise to get your media plan done right. With ads like you're hearing right now, to targeted social media campaigns, search engine optimization, and location-based advertising. Advertise with Odyssey and help us grow your business. Visit ads.odyssey.com.